Chapter 53. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. We're going to read through verse 7. Isaiah chapter 53. So let's stand together as we read God's Word. Page 596. Beginning in verse 1 of Isaiah 53. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before his shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Thank you so much. God bless you. You can be seated. Today we are continuing our first Sunday series that we began in August, regarding the Lamb of God. In that first Sunday, we looked at where John the Baptist saw Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And then last month, we were in the book of Philippians, where it talks up where Paul wrote about how Jesus emptied himself. He did not consider equality with God something to be guarded, but he emptied himself and he came to earth. Today we're looking at where Isaiah is writing about Jesus. So the first Sunday we talked about he was a simple lamb, not the lion, a simple lamb. Then last month we talked about how he was the shorn lamb. He was the lamb who was stripped of all of his rights. Today I want to talk for a few minutes about how he is the silent lamb. Verse 7 mentions it three different times. You know, the Bible warns us about our use of words. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 says, "The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered." Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, Jesus said, "Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." Paul wrote to the Colossians in chapter 4, verse 6, "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." And then James, in James chapter 3, verse 2, James writes and says, "We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check." So the Bible warns us that we're to be careful with our words. James tells us that the tongue is set on fire from the very fires of hell, and how the tongue can divide and how the tongue can tear asunder. You know, he tells us, "Can sweet and bitter water both come out of the same fountain? And can thorns and figs or grapes both come out of the same vine?" So we are warned that we're to use our words wisely and sparingly. In fact, we read in the scripture where it is written that we are to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. We're to think out what we're going to say. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle with that. Sometimes my mind gets ahead of my mouth, and my mouth gets ahead of my mind, just like it did then. and my mind just cannot catch up. And by the time it catches up, it's saying to my mouth, you need to shut up. You know, when Jesus was facing his accusers, he used very few words. Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 62, the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But verse 63 says, but Jesus remained silent. In the next chapter, the 14th verse says, but Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Luke chapter 23, verse 8, when Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. So he plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. Verse 7 of Isaiah 53, Isaiah three times mentions this attitude of silence that Jesus had. I want to read it to you again. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Three times in that one verse, Isaiah makes reference to the fact that when Jesus stood before his accusers, he did not say anything. He was silent. Now, we could look at that and say, oh, okay, so the point is that we need to keep quiet. We need to just be quiet. In our culture, in our world, in our nation, we just need to be quiet. And that is not what Isaiah is saying. In fact, if you go to the book of Acts, chapter 4, after they have brought Peter and John in for healing the lame man and preaching in the name of Jesus, it says this, they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to listen to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. If you go through the Gospels, you find that Jesus spoke against the culture in which he lived. He spoke about the religious culture in which he lived. He called the Pharisees and Sadducees. He said, you're just whitewashed bones. You're empty graves. You're sepulchers. There's a headstone there, but there's nothing there other than a headstone. He spoke out. He spoke up. Peter and John tell the religious leaders, we're going to speak and hear what we have. We're going to speak about what we have seen and about what we have heard. We are not being told in Isaiah to just button up our mouths and take it, to just be quiet. In fact, I will say this. Some of the problems our nation is in right now is because too many times we have stood by silently and said nothing. We complain about prayer being taken out of the school. We complain about this happening and that happening. Oh, that's where our nation began to go down when that happened. And yet, where were we? Where was the church when that was occurring? I don't know. Maybe after you hear the COVID statistics on the local news, you tune out everything else. I stopped by a business the other day, and so here's my little COVID aside. And I'm there and I drop something off and I'm getting ready to leave. And the lady who's the business owner said, well, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing great. How are you doing? She said, I'm doing good. No COVID so far. It's sad when we gauge the worth of our life by a virus. But back to the sermon. Are we to speak out? Are we to be a voice? Are we to stand up? Yes, we are. Maybe you didn't catch it, but just about a week and a half ago, the city commission, our city commission, had an item in their agenda in which they were going to recognize abortion as not harmful to women and as a free health care and health choice. You know, that baby inside them is sort of like a tumor. And you just need to go to the doctor and get that tumor out. And that was what our city commission, apparently they have nothing else to do except to drum up stuff like this. Apparently there's no crime in Tallahassee. Our taxes are just perfect. There's nothing to be concerned about except that we need as a city to make a statement that abortion is safe, it is legal, and it is something that we want to represent as being a good choice. Except what happened is that somehow somebody read that agenda and they began to post on Facebook about that agenda. And they begin to send emails about that agenda. And they sent an email to one of our city commissioners who is a co-owner of three local pizza places and said to that commissioner, if this passes, we will be outside of your business every day picketing and we will boycott your business. And for some reason, it dropped off the agenda. Because somebody stood up. Because somebody spoke out. Because somebody said, this does not represent us. It may represent these people. It may represent that group. But this does not represent our city. They, and I'm not talking about when I say they, I'm not talking about the government. I'm talking about our culture depends upon the church being quiet and falling in line. And when we don't do that, not only are they shocked, but they recognize that if we get the church riled up, it might cost us in the pocketbook, and we don't want that to happen. We are called to stand up. We are called to say, I don't believe this is right. I guess you know in our school system now in Leon County, if your child decides that he or she wants to transition to another gender, they can go to the school and they can get assistance and aid with that without you even being notified. That's our county. That's our educational system. I'm saying that as parents and as people and as Christians, we need to be aware of not only what's going on in our school system, what's going on in our own home. What's going on with our children? We need to be in tune to what our children are saying and watching and doing because we should be the first resource they have. When we perceive a personal attack, the sad thing is this, is that when we need to speak up, we're quiet. And oftentimes, when we need to be quiet, we speak up. When I perceive I'm being attacked personally, when I feel that my opinion's not being acknowledged, when I'm defending my rights, when I'm speaking up for myself, when I'm giving someone a piece of my mind, when I'm getting my 2 cents worth, when I'm going tit for tat with somebody verbally, I feel like I should be allowed to speak up. And yet when there are issues that are going to affect my children, my culture, my grandchildren, I remain quiet. And the scripture is telling us we've got this backwards. When Jesus was being attacked for his identity, if you are the Son of God, you know, are you who they say you are? Are you the Messiah? Are you the King? He didn't say anything because he recognized that this attack was not about the culture. It was not about his divinity. It was not about his identity. This was simply they were looking for a way to trip him up. So we are to be listeners. What's being said? How am I perceiving what's being said? Am I taking this as an attack against me? If so, then I probably need to be quiet right now and just sort of think about this and receive this. We've got it backwards. I see it in my own life. I'm quick to speak up when I really need to be quiet, and I have a tendency to be quiet when I need to speak up. when I need to say something and say, this is what the Scripture says, this is what I believe, I base what I believe on this book right here, that's when I need to be bold. Because Jesus said, when they bring you in before counselors, they bring you in before kings and governors, don't worry about what you're going to say. Just be ready to speak, because the Holy Spirit will tell you what you need to say. James says this, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I, in my own life, have a tendency to speak more for my kingdom than for God's kingdom. And we have to turn that. Christ was silent before His accusers. Isaiah 53, verse 6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Philippians 2, 7, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus understood when He stood before these accusers, when He stood before Herod, when He stood before Pilate, when He stood before the Sanhedrin, He understood. He knew who He was. He knew what He was going to have to do. He knew He had come to be the servant of God, the servant of man. He knew He had come to give His life, to die on the cross. And He felt there is no need in talking about this. I've talked about this for 3 years. I've said all there needs to be said. He didn't defend Himself. He did not claim His rights. He did not fight for His position. He did not answer His accusers. He did not attempt to present His side. He did not verbally attack. He was the servant. Servants have no defense. When Joseph, Potiphar's servant, was falsely accused, the Scripture does not tell us that Joseph ever said one word to defend himself. He never said, wait a minute, what about that wife of yours? She's the one. She's been harassing me. She's been tempting me. She's been after me for months. You just don't know about it. Maybe you ought to check things in your own house. He didn't say a word. He knew what awaited him. Jail, being thrown into prison, being ostracized, possible death awaited him. But he understood that servants have no rights, servants have no position to defend, servants cannot accuse. Interestingly, when Jesus goes before His accusers, there was only one person who spoke up for Jesus. Pilate's wife said to Pilate, have nothing to do with this man. I had a dream about him. No one else spoke up for him. Jesus had no public defender. Jesus had no one there to plead His case. Jesus had no one to plead for mercy before the court. Jesus stood before His accusers alone. Jesus faced everything they had to say. There was no defense attorney. There were no character witnesses. There were no disciples nearby. There were no angelic visitations. There was no voice from heaven. Just silence. Just silence. That kind of love, that type of love, cannot even be described. Can you imagine the type of love that Christ had for us when He stands before these men who are accusing Him, who are blaspheming Him, who are slapping Him, who have blindfolded Him and slapped Him and say, if you're a prophet, prophesy, who slapped you? He goes through all that and does not say anything. When his hands are tied and He is beaten, the Scripture records not a word that did He say. He didn't cry out for mercy. He did not say, I can't take this anymore. He did not say, this is too much. Not a word. It is only when He's hanging on the cross that Jesus begins to speak. And one of the first things He says is, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. kind of love. That kind of grace to stand before your accusers and not say a word, because you recognize that there is something bigger here than me. It's the cross. So what do? I have prayed about this message all week. Lord, how do I communicate this? What do? Even when we are taking a stand, we have to remember that whatever stand we're taking, it is not a stand against the person. It's not a stand against the person. That's why Jesus, I think it's one of the reasons Jesus didn't get into accusations, answering these accusations, because Jesus understood it's not about the person. It's not about you. It's not about you, Pilate. It's not about you, Herod. It's not about you, soldiers who are striking me. It's not about you. It's about the Spirit. And so even when we speak up, and we speak up at a commission meeting, or we speak up before our board of education, we speak up and we say that this isn't right. I'm not for this. I oppose this. We understand that. I'm not opposed to you seven people sitting there. I'm not opposed to you five people sitting there. So do we take a stand? Yes. There are times we have to take a stand. But we're not taking stands against somebody. We're not taking a stand against a person. We're not taking a stand against that. I was amazed. Or I still am amazed. I have very few Facebook friends. And once they start talking politics, they are unfollowed. I'm amazed at some of the comments that people who are Christians, who are in church, make about individuals who oppose them politically. We've got it wrong, people. Our problem is not with who sits in the White House, whether we like him or not, whether we wish there was somebody else there or not. That is not our problem. That is not our enemy. That's not the one we attack. The person sitting on the school board is not my enemy. The person who has a different view regarding me about something is not my enemy. I am to love them. I can speak differently than them. I can say, I don't believe that. This is what I believe, and this is why I believe it. But never do I say, I'm against you. Jesus stands before these people who are attacking Him personally. Tell us if you're the Messiah. Tell us if you're a prophet. Tell us. Do something. Prove yourself. Jesus, I'm not getting involved in that game. We speak. We stand. We declare. We stand upon this word. We speak. We stand. We declare. But never do we choose that that person is who I'm against. Can you imagine the writer, and I'm closing, the writer of Amazing Grace, who was a slave trader? Can you imagine if he had been confronted and somebody said, I hate what you do, and I hate you for doing it. You think he would have written Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me? No. And that's where we have to guard ourselves. Because it's so easy for us to make it about you against me. And since it's you against me, I'm going to defend myself. It's not you against me. Well, I hope that is clearer than mud. We're going to come to the table of the Lord in recognition of that great love, that great mercy that allowed Jesus, that sustained him, that restrained him from making what was going on in Pilate's judgment hall, and when he stood before Herod, and when he stood before the Sanhedrin, that constrained him and allowed him to see, this is not about you against me. It's about the Spirit that is working in this age. And may we have that same attitude. It's not about you against me. It's about the Spirit that is working even today in the atmosphere. That's why Paul could write and say, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against the principalities, against spiritual forces, against darkness. And Jesus understood that and he recognized that. So Lord, today as we come to the table of the Lord and we come to receive the elements representing your broken body and the elements representing your shed blood, Lord, we recognize that Jesus was the silent lamb, that he refused to take the bait, that he refused to get involved in argument, vindictiveness, with defending himself against people. And Lord, that led him to the cross, just like it will lead us there as well. Because just like Jesus was your servant, we are your servants. I pray now, as we come to this time, and take these elements, that we would be reminded of such great love. Such great love for us and even for his accusers. That he could look down upon the Roman soldiers who had nailed him to the cross. He could look down upon the religious leaders of Judaism who were mocking him and accusing him and belittling him. He could look down upon them and say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. May that kind of love grasp us as well. In Jesus' name.